This is MemberCare Media, a media ministry of TWR. Up next, a conversation we believe will be helpful to you. This is a copyright production of MemberCare Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
Hello again. We're continuing in my series of looking at families. We're going to be looking at family ways of behaving and try and look at new ways of behaving as we look at old familiar things. Today I'm talking about attitude towards others as a major general characteristic of healthy families. And I have 3 points that I want to talk about. Number one, healthy families teach respect for others. That's important in that that starts in the home, and there is an expectation that that will carry out into the world too. Number two, healthy families teach a sense of right and wrong. A healthy family operates from a clear set of values. It's not something that, well, we'll do whatever we can get away with. Unfortunately, many families are like that. And number three, a healthy family's values service to others. Not only do we respect others, but healthy families serve others. Very important points. Going back to the first point, a healthy family teaches respect for others. As you look at this, investigate your own family. How are you doing? Are you experiencing an environment where the children would say, my parents respect others? Most families probably do okay on this at times, but there are some vulnerabilities that we have as adults when we are home talking about things. One area is to talk about coworkers in very frustrated ways. It's very easy around the dinner table when you're supposed to be having uplifting conversation to instead focus on talking about the negative aspects of your relationship with coworkers or your boss or whatever. For people that are serving in cross-cultural environments, there is often a tendency to critique the culture or the people in the culture, the insiders, in somewhat negative ways. Our kids are real sponges on picking this up. You might want to ask this week, if you're brave enough, your children what sorts of things they're picking up about other people. Maybe you don't need to ask. Maybe you can tell that. You know, I've seen sometimes kids say things in public that gives you an incredible picture into what goes on inside the family in terms of attitudes they express about those around them. Are your kids doing that? I don't know. I sometimes found myself having to backtrack and say, now, kids, this what I said is kind of for us alone. Oh, yeah, Dad, they'd say. But I'd say, you know what, this person has many useful and wonderful attributes as well. And then I'd try and list them. And as time got on and I got more into that, I found myself sort of correcting some of our stuff by saying, well, let's look for some good points, or this person has some good points. I'm not sure how much of a positive effect that had on them, but I think it did over time, in that I've seen my kids pretty much give honoring statements to those people around them. The second arena, teaching a sense of right and wrong. Wow, this is a big thing. And sometimes in cross-cultural settings, it's real difficult to understand what is, quote, right and wrong clearly, because we don't always know. Sometimes it's been said about other cultures by North Americans that, well, they don't have morality in their culture, or they don't have a sense of right and wrong. What they're not realizing is that sometimes people who are outside the cultural boundaries are literally fair game for the insiders. So a person of a culture, another culture than yours, may have a very clear set of right and wrong, but that applies exclusively to their own culture group. Anybody else who's an outsider is possibly a bad person, an evil person, and whatever you can do to them is okay, is fair game, is open season. And that, I think, creates some of the misunderstandings that we have as outsiders in certain kinds of cultures. But now, how do we bring right and wrong into our own family? Well, I think that's a very common and regular activity that needs to happen on a daily basis. Are you sitting down with your kids and going through little morality plays around the times when they're experiencing frustration about things, wanting to cheat or have cheated or whatever? Those kinds of issues are very important to do. Another way of talking about right and wrong is to spend some time rehearsing what went on that earlier in that day. This may be rehearsing what somebody saw when they were out and about, or what you saw on television or heard on the radio. Was this right or wrong? And discuss with the children, according, you know, to their age, of course, what goes on in a right and wrong decision. What made some behavior right? What made some behavior wrong? What made some behavior that looks right wrong? And what made some behavior that looks wrong right? Those kinds of questions are very important because kids don't often have that centering feeling, that core that they need. Now, certainly they're going to be getting a lot of that from your religious instruction, your spiritual instruction and guidance, and they have that core. But it's amazing how many people who grow up in very active churches in the United States have very much of a situational flavor to their sense of right and wrong. So it's not just something that you're dealing with, it's something that we're all dealing with. The third point for today deals with valuing service to others. The healthy family probably spends time helping children understand that they are there to help. Now, if you're in some sort of a helping kind of vocation in your overseas work, it may fit very naturally into what you're doing. However, sometimes kids that grow up in that kind of a thing see what you do as not really helping. That's your job. They don't have to do these kinds of things because that's what you guys do for a living. Where there is that kind of an attitude developing, I encourage parents to do something completely different that is helping. For example, somebody may teach in a school and help people, and the kids may think that that's the only kind of helping that there is. Well, then I would suggest that you get involved in a soup kitchen or in some type of relief work where you can help those who are in need and take your kids with you brief periods of time. This is not something you do every day, but maybe some things that you do around the holidays or whatever. There might not be that many options for you where you are right now as you sit there and listen to this. But who knows, if you think through some things, there might be some things that you can do that can be very helpful. And who knows, if you're a stranger in a different country, people are expecting you to be different and to be distant. When you do things that they don't expect strangers to do, then they might be more interested in hearing about what you're doing and why you're there. And that's always a good thing. Well, there's those three issues that have to do with attitudes towards others. I think it's very important to help the kids manage these kinds of issues. But I think I want to go back here to the first point, and that is respect for others. I think that's a real problem of us as adults, particularly when we're involved in a team relationship with a lot of people. It's very intense and hard and arduous and conflicting potentially, and where there's a lot of stress going on in terms of adjusting to the outside culture and everything. It's very easy for our interpersonal differences to become points of contention. This week, I want you to think very carefully about how you're dealing with your teammates. What are some of the issues that are problematic? Take a minute after the program and write up down two or three of those. Don't write 20. I don't want you to be overwhelmed, but write two or three, or write a list of 10 and then narrow them down to the three that you think you can work on this week. I'd like you to consider seriously working on one to three of the issues about respecting each other. For some people, it may mean you're going to have to tighten up your courage and go to somebody and apologize for how you've been behaving towards them. For others, it may mean you may have to do a lot of thinking about ways in which you can take what is kind of somewhat of a tenuous relationship and make it better by doing positive things for other people. For some people, you may have to go and bring in a third party to help iron out some difficulties. There's no time like the present to work on these things. You don't need experts hovering around you, making sure you do it just right. It's always good to attempt to do some things on your own. And then if you can't make peace, then you bring somebody else in. But this respect issue is the first thing to go in conflict. You lose the respect of somebody, and then everything else starts falling away. Now, if you're a leader, you might want to see if people respect you for your leadership as well. But I'll leave that for another program. Talk to you next time.
This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thanks for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.